Joe Williams thing in there, actually, not John Rowland, but it could just as easily be. You know, the more that I go over this little speech of his, and I'm trying to become a more sympathetic person, because, in fact, what the heck is that? Oh, I've got this. I already had this. Because, in fact, I'm trying to be a better person, and because, in fact, I ask myself...
What?
Well, not really. But I ask myself the same questions that he asks himself, which is there some good to come from all this? Will I be a better person? Am I being tested? And my answer is no, I won't be. And I just want to say another thing about this, as a matter of fact. I vowed that I would say this today, that, you know, one thing that Governor Rowland said that was that he says, I fully recognize my problems are not caused by the media. I'd like to say that I consider it a point of pride that some of your problems are caused by the media, all right? And if you felt the need, if one of your speechwriters had coached you to saying something like, you know, and I'm not claiming the media is out to get you, I also wanted to say, we are out to get you, all right? We want to get you. We don't want to get you very soon, though. I'd like Governor Rowland to remain in office for several months at least. I don't think that he will, but he may.
No, I don't think he'll last that long.
But, you know, I went over the speech last night. Dana was kind enough to get us the text of the speech right away. And it's actually kind of a craven little speech. I mean, I realize that I don't have a pure heart about all this stuff. But it's kind of a craven little speech in some odd ways. And it is very typical of this kind of speech that when torchbearers, go before the public... They invariably sort of, they know that they're supposed to say stuff like, I've only myself to blame, and somebody else's fault but mine, and that. You know, they know that they're supposed to say all that stuff, so they say it. But they don't mean it, and it kind of comes out, I mean, I mentioned this last night, that, you know, if you really look very carefully, there's a lot of the language of victimization in this speech. In this very short speech, he says stuff like, you know, to see all this stuff happening, to all the relationships in my life, he says, be under such strain hurts me greatly. That's what he says. It hurts me greatly. Well, who really cares whether it hurts him greatly? I mean, if in fact he's genuinely contrite, if he's completely, you know, if he means what he says, it doesn't make any difference whether it hurts him greatly or not. And similarly, I mean, I was especially struck, and we said this last night too, by his use of the language of the 12-step movement. He said, I look for progress, not perfection, one day at a time. Well, these are, you know, watchwords of Alcoholics Anonymous or various anonymous kinds of movements. There actually is, by the way, something called DA, Debtors Anonymous, and maybe he's
in the... Is he going for the alcoholic vote or what?
I think he's trying to claim that he has, a home renovation addiction that he's not in control of.
Corrupted Anonymous.
He has recognized that, you know, he's asked his higher power for help with his home renovation addiction. There actually is something called DA. There's something called Debtors Anonymous that uses the same 12-step system to help people who have some spending.
I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder why he put that in.
I don't know. I mean, I'm fascinated by that, actually. I would like to know whether that's... I mean, it has to be an intentional evocation of the 12-step movement. I mean, it's not an accidental thing. Now, either he or whoever put that in his speech doesn't know where that comes from, or... And, you know, they just know that it's kind of out there. Because it's kind of out there.
Like one day at a time? He doesn't know where it comes from?
It's a meme. I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't. But I think the greater likelihood is they know exactly where it comes from. And that they also know that that's something that people resonate with. I mean, to tell you the truth, the speech reads like it was written by an alcoholic or written by somebody in AA. Particularly because, in fact, another aspect of AA is that idea of making amends, of, you know, of apologizing to everybody that you've hurt, of dealing with all the damage to your relationships and stuff like that. This, you know, if I had to sort of cite the greatest intellectual influence on this speech, I wouldn't say it was, you know, Oliver Goldsmith or, you know, or Edward Hume or something, or Thomas Jefferson. I mean,
there's somebody named Bill.
Yeah, it's like Bill. Yeah. It's a guy named Bill. I mean, not Curry either. It's a very much of a 12-step speech. So, and I don't know what that means other than that's maybe the most familiar intellectual architecture we have for understanding somebody who isn't in control. Behavior. So I don't know. I make what you want out of it, but it has a real 12. The whole speech had a real 12-step, you know, And by the way, I don't say this to make light of the 12-step movement. I mean, I you know, been to a meeting or two myself. I know the value of that particular language and style of thought. I'm just wondering what it has to do with political corruption. But anyway, we're going to take some phone calls here. We also have some pretty interesting guests. And maybe a few who aren't so interesting. But, coming up, Tom DeMore, political consultant, one of the chief architects of the Weicker Revolution, will be joining us. And then later in the show, in the studio with us, will be Mark Oppenheimer, the former religion writer of The Current and now kind of a national expert on religion and public life, or at least I'm claiming he is. And I thought maybe Mark could actually talk to us a little bit about Howard Dean's quest for religious salvation, but also maybe a little bit about how the governor is use some of these ideas. Although I noticed he didn't drag God into his speech last night.
God had the night off.
Right. And then coming up later in the show, personality expert Paul Teeger. Paul will be here for two reasons. One of them will be to use his skills to analyze the governor's presentation last night. He also wants to talk about this new development in West Hartford called Flesh Person's Landing.
Not going to sing, is he?
He's not going to sing, no.
Thank God
no
for
songs.
That.
No more songs. But there's going to be this gigantic development in West Hartford Center. It's going to be on the eastern border of West Hartford Center that includes movie theaters and condos and shops and all kinds of stuff like that.
Is that a good idea?
Well, he doesn't think so. I don't know. I need to be persuaded one way or another on this. But it's actually called Blue Black Square or something, which I think is pretty dumb. I think it should be called Flesh Person's Landing. Or something along those lines. It should be a landing.
Yeah. You should try to find the name for a landing, a name that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
That works best.
Yeah, some kind of landing.
Yeah.
And it could be a landing because it's... I forget where it
is. Within 50 miles of an airport?
Well, no, because, I mean, Adrian's Landing is because of the Connecticut River. Obviously, those are Adrian blocks that would have sailed up.
Everybody knows that.
But they've got Trout Brook right there. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Trout Brook goes right by there. And so maybe it's called Steve Grant's Landing or something like that. I'm actually the only person ever to canoe the length of Trout Brook. This is actually true. I think it was before you came to this market, but when Steve Grant canoed the length of the Connecticut River, I then canoed Trout Brook, which involved quite literally dragging a canoe on a leash. It was the most unpleasant day of my life, really. This is like this. I've never been so miserable in my life. It was. There's actually a movie called Fitzcarraldo, a Werner Herzog movie, in which people, for some reason or other, go into the Amazon and they push an opera house over a small mountain. And people were, like, killed in the making of this movie. That's exactly what it was like trying to drag a canoe down the length of Trout Brook. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's take some phone calls from angry, distressed people.
Oh, we don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. Debbie, hello.
Hi,
Debbie.
How are you?
Hi. Good. You're on the air.
I thought John Mueller looked like he was going to cry last night.
Did it make you want to cry?
It looked like it was quivering.
Yeah.
And anyway, this is not the first time he's asked us to forgive him. So it's like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Yeah.
So I don't think that... I think he should be impeached like ASAP.
All right. And if not sooner.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Debbie.
Did you give any thought whatsoever when he said... I've never given anything in exchange for these gifts. Was that struck me when I heard that.
It is exactly the thing that's in the speech. In other words, if you go back to what Merrick Alpert said on the show yesterday, you have to be careful when you start making public utterances that you don't say something that can be that can become part of the record, can be used against you, all this kind of stuff. That's the thing. I mean, everything, all the rest of it is a bunch of, you know, quasi emotional mush. But that's the one thing that sort of jumps out at you.
In Cromwell, Frank.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, Colin, I was just wondering, seeing that during the election with Bill Curry, Governor Rowland referred to you as Curry's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I was just wondering now if maybe Buddy Vicevich would be Roland's girlfriend, seeing that how he treats him on his show.
I'm not going to touch this. I'm not going to touch
on.
It. My understanding is that the governor and Buddy have decided to see other people.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But,
that's cool.
Thanks for bringing that up.
It's nice to be reminded.
It's certainly a memory I love to revisit all the time.
Beverly in Manchester. Hi, Beverly.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, thanks for calling. 20 after 3, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC from the cell phone.
Because Mr. Zelhaney said, get lots of phone calls on the air today, and don't talk to any of them for very long.
Connecticut Today with...
That's Dido. I just want to mention before we go back to the phone call, because I'm going to forget it otherwise. Susan Bicewicz, the Secretary of State, a woman I love, was on the show yesterday, and she was claiming that she called for Roland's resignation in an interview with Sam Gingerella. What is it called? Face the Snake or whatever it is called? What is it called? Face something.
Face Connecticut, I think.
Face this.
It's called, yeah.
This show is on at like 6 it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. No one heard this except like some guy passed out in the Golden Rocks men's room or something. You know, some guy who passed out at Steak and Egg. She called for Roland's resignation on a 6 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning public affairs show on this radio station hosted by Sam. I don't even think Sam heard it. Sam usually sleeps through the last half of the show.
Okay, Secretary, my last question is...
I mean, she might as well have gone out into the Goodwin State Forest and screamed it at the top of her lungs. At least some squirrels would have heard it. Anyway. But I believe her. I believe that she did call for his resignation.
Okay. A lot of people have made their careers on that Sammy show.
I think the Marshall Plan was initially introduced there.
Yeah. All right.
Marshall's Plan, maybe.
All right, go ahead. Pick something. Tom in New Haven. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Tom.
I just wanted to say that upon deeper analysis, I think I've figured out what Governor Roland is invoking, and it's actually the TV show One Day at a Time and Snyder, the maintenance man, or Snyder.
Okay, this is like 70s and 80s television, and I'm not too good at this, but I think everybody else is getting the joke.
Well, you know, it's just home restoration, you know, he needs a little help, and redemption, you know, he was... integral in that family's redemption. But anyway, thanks a lot.
All right, Tom. Did you understand that? I didn't actually ever watch One Day.
Watched it. I do. I'm familiar with the character.
Is that the one that had John Ritter on it? Is it the one that had Susan Summers on it?
No, it had...
Who was on One Day?
Bonnie...
Bonnie Raitt. No. Bonnie, I know who you mean. I know who you mean.
Bonnie somebody.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
I want to say Bonnie Hunt, but that isn't right.
It's not Bonnie Hunt either, but... Now 25 people that jam the talk line.
Oh, yeah.
Who the damn person is named Bonnie, but we don't want to know. We don't care.
Right. Pretty much.
All right, here's Jim.
Hey, Talk 1080. Thank you, Bob. I'm Matt Dwyer, WTIC 1080 News.
Over the course of the last month, I've lived my own personal nightmare. These have been the most difficult times of my life. I've hurt and angered people that I've spent my entire adult life trying to serve. I wrestled with John Rowland, the governor, but I've also wrestled with John Rowland, the person. I humbly ask for a renewed opportunity to redeem myself in your eyes, and I offer my sincerest apologies to the people of Connecticut. Be a better person? Am I being tested? I believe the answer is yes. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night.
That was the creation of our generously talented FM cousin, Mr. Damon Scott. Joining us now is one of Connecticut's foremost political handlers, a guy who pretty much, we can't really say that, but a guy who helped Lowell Weicker create the Weicker Revolution here in the state of Connecticut. But probably somebody who's never dealt with a situation quite like this one. So joining us now is political consultant Tom DeMoor. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Colin. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Just by way of full disclosure, in addition to being a political consultant with Weicker, I'm also a lobbyist with Doyle and DeMoor, and my partners, John Doyle and Rich Balducci, are active And I'm also the former chairman of the Republican Party.
That's right. There's so many things, Tom.
By way of disclosure, and one other thing before we get started, you appear to be having entirely too much fun, Colin. I can't believe you and Bruce actually get paid to do this. The last couple of
Well, we can't believe that you get paid to do what you do, so it's about fair. It's fair enough. It's reasonable.
Fair enough. Like
well, I'm not even sure. What did Kissel do? Did he call for resignation?
Yes. Yeah. I heard that on your station, Colin. You ought to... Maybe you can't bear to listen to
I get just a splitting headache when I try to listen to any show.
I heard it on your station.
Well, I mean, you know, but I mean, Diana Urban, I think, has already done so. Peters from Berlin has done so. Witkos from Canton has done so. So Kissel, you know, is...
Well, Kissel, not to take away from the acts of those state reps, yeah. Because it's important. Kissel potentially will be... If this process begins, we'll be sitting as a juror.
Yeah,
he's a senator.
Yeah, he's a senator, so he would sit as a juror. I was actually thinking that, you know, one possible nice kind of thing that they could do out of this is when we kind of bring back that old Von Meter album, The First Family. You know, Patty could give one of those Jackie Onassis tours of the, you know, yeah. Of the cottage.
This is the front step. It was a gift of Mr. and Mrs. R.J. Tomaso of Farmington, Connecticut. This cathedral scene was a gift of...
Oddly enough.
The same people.
Yeah. We are having too much fun. It's terrible. All right, listen, we're going to take a few phone calls here. Our boss, with Steve Salhady, a radio programming genius, said,
put lots of calls on here. Don't talk to them very long, okay? Just say hello and then drop the line.
Hey. So we won't let you talk very much, but we will let you talk on the air. Those are our orders. We'll talk with start with Tim from Granby.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Colin.
You're done. Thank you.
Sorry,
right.
Thank
you. No, go ahead.
No, actually, go ahead.
Thanks. Hey, it dawned on me last night as I was listening to Roland, where he certainly made the case that, you know...
That Washington wants him to do it. They probably wanted to resign, too, and they're probably upset that he's not. So I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep about that.
Okay.
Next call.
Yep.
Faster. Sorry.
Keep it on the edge.
All right. Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Fine. How are you?
I just wanted to say that I think that John Rowland was very insulting when he said this is a personal nightmare and he's being tested. People who have serious diseases and the woman who lost her 15-year-old son last night,
yeah.
That's being tested. He made these choices.
Well, I objected. When he said, actually, I have lived my own personal nightmare, I thought he was referring to Curry on the cover of Northeast Magazine. Which
I don't know. Maybe his adulterous relationship with his wife might have been a nightmare also.
No, stop. Kathy, see?
Oh,
Bill Haney's right. We keep the callers on
the
air.
That's right. I told you to drop them sooner.
Okay. There's time for one more call?
Tom,
faster.
Sorry.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
Do you guys honestly think there's one person in the legislature that's living off their salary? Honestly, do you think there's one?
What I think is,
it isn't taking payoff.
Well, no, I think there are plenty of legislators who are not taking payoff. I know.
I think you're dreaming.
Well, okay, but. But I do...
WTIC, News Talk 1080.
I've heard in anger people that I've spent my entire adult life trying to serve. I was wrong when I accepted gifts. I was wrong in failing to truthfully address these issues. I lied, and there are no excuses. And I offer my sincerest apologies to the people of Connecticut. My mistakes are my own. They are a result of my own doing. And unfortunately, I have compounded them. Over the course of the last month, I've lived my own personal nightmare. I've wrestled with John Rowland, the governor, but I've also wrestled with John Rowland, the person. These have been the most difficult times of my life. I humbly ask for a renewed opportunity to redeem myself in your eyes. Will I be a better person? I believe the answer is yes. Have a good night.
That, of course, is John Rowland. With us in studio right now is Mark Oppenheimer. He was at one point the religion writer for the Hartford Current. He's also written most recently for the New York Times Sunday Magazine. He's working on a book right now about... Tell him what your book is.
I'm working on a book about bar mitzvah, a cultural journalistic study of the bar and bat mitzvah.
Yeah. I actually want to say that in one of his earlier utterances, he did say that the whole thing brought him closer to... Did he say it brought him closer to God, right?
When he said this is a test. When he said, I do feel I'm being tested, I think he's lying, but it is religious language. I mean, I don't think he sits up at night thinking, this is God testing me. I think he thinks I should have paid for that work in my house.
I thought that was maybe the strangest statement in the whole speech. I am being tested. Because I am being tested, I mean, it does, we're going to be talking about the book of Job in just a second, and it
right.
does specifically evoke the book of Job. That's
yeah.
where somebody gets tested.
Right.
But God doesn't usually say
it. And Jacob, as you point out, and the wrestling
people,
with God.
People
yeah.
get tested, people get tested but
right.
I don't think God usually says, let's see, I'll make you really corrupt for a while.
right.
And then I'll tell the U.S. attorney that you're corrupt. That's how I'll test
right.
you.
And Moira Lyons, who's my agent, is I'm going to deputize Moira Lyons to be the tester.
I mean, it's just, he's not being tested by somebody.
Right. No, he's just a screw-up. I mean, there's a sort of like self-inflating grandeur to it, and one of the things that... You know, religion writers talk about a lot is American religion is so egalitarian in a sense because anyone can become a preacher. You know, Al Sharpton got ordained at the age of 6. He probably couldn't read yet, but boy, was he an articulate 6-year-old to get ordained. So Americans like this idea that anyone can be an agent of God. You don't have to have an education. You don't have to have the fancy seminary degree. All you have to, you know, open a church and you're an agent of God. So there is this sense in which we're very likely to think, you know, I'm being tested. I feel I'm going through the dark night of the soul. It's my 40 days in the desert. And no, you're not. You're a schmuck. I mean, there's a difference.
That's the
Hebrew Bible term for it. You're not being tested. You're a schmuck.
But Mark Oppenheimer is here to help you get it back. You're working on an article right now about all this stuff, about what presidential candidates actually believe.
Yeah, I'm working on an article with Northeast Magazine for The Current about I decided to just call all the candidates and say and ask them questions like, you know, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And, you know, which of the sacraments do you think are important and things like that? And boy, did the press secretaries not want to answer those questions. I got Kucinich on the line. I actually talked to him. He's really smart. But he, you know, he was raised Catholic, and he's from a very ethnic Catholic neighborhood back in Ohio. And he sort of went into all this, like, spiritualist mumbo-jumbo. Well, I think there are many different paths to truth, and my particular path is mostly Roman Catholic. And then I said, well, listen, do you have a relationship with Jesus and the Virgin Mary or not? And there was this 25-second pause. Literally.
Mark is like the Sam Donaldson of
right.
religion.
Right. Literally, there's this 25-second pause, and Ed Kucinich says to me, I believe there are many paths to truth. He just wouldn't answer it. And that other great Catholic, John Kerry, I was trying to find out if, in fact, he ever got his first marriage annulled, because he's remarried, right, to Teresa Hines. And his press secretary just didn't return. I gave them 6 questions, and they answered all 5 except for the 6th, which was, did you get your first marriage annulled? And I emailed her back, and I said, are you going to get me an answer on the 6th? And she wrote back and said, Senator Kerry guards his privacy too much to answer that question, but he wants you to know that he's in good standing with the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So the translation is, no, he didn't get his first marriage annulled. He's a bigamist in the Catholic Church, but he's lying to everyone about it. And, you know, someone should write an article about this, because it's a bit of, he's just lying about it.
Because he does continue to take communion?
Well, they gave me a shady answer on that one, too. I said, well, does he go take communion, or does he at least know that it's better if he doesn't? And she wrote back and said, Senator Kerry, go to church frequently whenever they're in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's never in Boston. He lives in Washington.
Yeah.
So, in fact, they weaseled out of that one, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also interesting, we're going to run out of time here, but you don't really have to attend church. I mean, for example, Reagan was one of the most palpably religious,
right.
at least people
never
thought he was
church.
Very, he never went to church.
His church was schmoozing and hobnobbing with very weird fundamentalist people who read the Left Behind novels. So he actually absorbed their beliefs as if through osmosis. He would talk about how he thought the end times were coming.
Yeah. Could he stay on for another half hour? Well, Mark can come back. No, that's absolutely true. And not only that, but he would hobnob with all these fundamentalists, and then he would let his wife use astrology to run the government.
Right,
I mean, I'm
right.
sure the fundamentalists must be appalled by that,
but
right?
This is why Americans loved him. I mean, because, you know, look, a lot of fundamentalist, you know, ladies at their coffee clutches take out the astrology section of the Inquirer, and this is why our country's great. You know, they're boring in Sweden. They're all Lutherans. They don't go to church. They're nominal Lutherans who never go to church. You know, here we're interesting here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Mark Oppenheimer, you will be invited back. He's already been to the studio. He's not interested in coming back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, go to the gift shop, buy a postcard.
Thanks.
And we'll have you on. Anyway, thanks for being with us. We got Paul Tiger coming up. Rarely wrong. Yeah, rarely wrong. That's part of Team Colin. Joining us now is Paul Teeger.
What?
Team
Collin?
Yeah, I feel like John.
Paul, is Paul part of that too?
Yeah, he can. He sometimes is my personality consultant, yes.
Okay.
It's a large.
He didn't know that, yeah. But he'd be
part of Team Collin.
Just bugging on him.
I'm on him.
That's right. I got my hot room yoga guy. I got my therapeutic massage person. Everybody. So joining us now is Paul Teeger. We often have Paul on to talk about personality issues. He's an expert in personality types. And really in the second segment of Paul's visit, we are going to talk a little bit about Governor Olin's self-presentation last night. But he has something else he wants to talk about, too, as a resident of West Hartford, which is this new development that's going in on the east side of West Hartford Center. And I guess it's called Blue Black Square.
Blueback.
Oh, okay. Blueback. Why is it called Blueback? Does anybody know what
you know, it's a reference to Noah Webster, one of the books he wrote, I think.
Oh, Blueback.
I thought it was Bluebeard.
Yeah.
I was giving it a whole new...
That's a different place.
I wanted it to be called Flesh Person's Landing.
In honor of Andy?
In honor of Andy,
okay.
Yeah. Or some kind of landing, anyway. Well, now, this you're a resident of West Hartford, and I guess you're part of a group that has some real concerns about this development. We should, first of all, give people a kind of a sense of how big the development is.
Well, first I got to say, I'm here just as Paul Teeger, independent resident. I'm not here representing any group.
Right.
This is a huge project, which I'm going to describe to you, and there are lots and lots of concerns from different kinds of people. So, having said that, let me tell you what they're trying to do. There's a huge parcel of land adjacent to West Hartford Center where Grody Chevrolet and William Ford used to be. A lot of property there. What these developers who are coming from out of state have proposed is a very multi-use property. And here's what it's going to look like. They're talking about 550,000 square feet of space. Now that's compared with 220,000 feet of the center now. So it's more than double what we've got at the center.
Just for the record, they're disputing your claim.
They are?
We got some stuff from Raymond Road Associates here, and they're saying it's basically about the same size as West Hartford Center, but not
okay,
quite
you
like
know what?
Enough,
okay.
But not twice the size.
Then I stand corrected. I'm really not trying to misrepresent here. The problem is there's been a lot of numbers, and to be fair to them, this is not a set thing on them. It keeps changing.
Yeah.
So I'm really not trying to misrepresent, and I'll take their numbers at face value. What I've been told from them is that there's 160,000 square feet of retail space,
mm-hmm.
probably 5, 6, 7, or 8 restaurants, 2 parking garages, which the town will be financing with a $45 million bond, 100 condominiums, a movie theater complex with maybe 4, 5, 6 theaters, another 200,000 square feet of office space, and some buildings will be 4, 5, or 6 stories high. So they'll actually be raising the skyline of West Hartford. So there's a lot of people that are curious about what's going on and concerned. Nobody that I'm talking to is saying we don't want any development, we don't want anything there. We know it has to be developed, and it's a great opportunity. The problem is that it's way, way, way too big, way out of scale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the general kind of nutshell view. I could tell you some of the concerns, and again, different people have different of these concerns resonate with different people.
Yeah. What are your concerns? I mean, let me just sort of say that I don't really have an opinion about this one way or the other. I actually, I grew up a few blocks west of West Hartford
sure.
Center, and then, you know, I mean, I lived west of West Hartford Center for a long time. And I do think something needs to be done there, and I do think that West Hartford Center, for all of its current loveliness and preciousness, it is kind of lovely, but it's also kind of precious, and there isn't really that much else. I mean, for example, my son is constantly complaining that there's nothing for him to do.
I hear you. Yeah. I mean, there's a great opportunity here, and these folks look like they do a good job. It's really a question of what's going to be there and the scale and the scope. Mm-hmm. So some of the concerns, there's a loss of significant land and town buildings, and the revenue that they're projecting to generate is very, very small, like 1% of the town budget. So they're going to change a lot of this stuff for 1%. The traffic congestion and pedestrian safety could be a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, the town council is doing the right thing, and they're planning to introduce a resolution next week that will have an independent study on economic impact and traffic, which is exactly the right thing, and they're applauded for doing that. We're going to finance these garages that we're going to own with $45 million of the town money in bonds. And, you know, we've got a very, very good AAA bond rating, which means something to some people, doesn't mean something to other people, but that could be in jeopardy if this thing doesn't work. I mean, the reality is, if in good times, and if this thing works, that could be terrific.
Yeah.
But when the down cycle comes, and you've got a lot of these properties that are vacant, or the garages don't get filled, you know, property tax in West Hartford are going to have to go up because there's no way to pay for them. You know, there's increased burden on public services, fire, safety, public works, that kind of thing. But I think the biggest thing for me, really, is the quality of life issues. You know, the reason why people live in this town is because it is a small town, and they can go to Cozy's, and they can shop at Bennett's, and they can do things, and there's a scale to the town. And I think that the reality is people really need to see the model. There's a 15 by 15 foot model that's in the third floor, 327, I think, of the town hall. That says the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the density and the size of it is way out of proportion, we think, or I think anyway, just for myself, for the project. And people need to see that.
And let me just say, from my own perspective, and actually I no longer live in West Hartford, so I have less of a dog in this fight, but I mean, I lived in West Hartford for years. I don't think something like this is necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I would have some questions about traffic. I think traffic is a big question right now anyway, because West Hartford is just a tough place to get around in on some days, you know, even without something like this. I think in general, sort of high-density, multi-use stuff like this in an area like West Hartford is very appropriate. It's actually really good, I think. It's a good way to develop a town like this. And particularly if it's sort of linked to a lot of pedestrian walkways and stuff like that. You look at towns the size of West Hartford that have successfully developed, I think stuff like this is actually pretty good. Almost the higher density, the better.
Well, you know what? Again, Colin, it's abstract until you see the model, because the model really makes it clear. And you know what? It's like a different town center. Mm-hmm. So I think that one of my concerns from the very beginning was that this will really maybe even kill the West Hartford Center that we know. Because there's going to be so many things down there. And this is not a walking town. I mean, it's a walking town with a cow parade here, which is great. But people don't park too much in the garage that's up in the center now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have two garages down on the other side. So are people going to park in those garages and walk all the way up to go to Bennett's or Fowles or whatever? I don't know. There's some real questions about that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be able to move people around without having car congestion and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And that would be my only hesitation about something like this. But in general, that area of town, it's going to develop high-density, multi-use kind of stuff. I think that's good urban planning. You can usually work with developers to kind of scale it down a little bit so that it kind of fits the needs of the community and fits the size of the community.
Well, you know, one of the things of many things that you've said that I really agree with, was you were one of the first guys that came out against Adrian's Landing.
Yeah.
And pointed out, you know what, I think that this in some people's minds is West Hartford's Adrian's Landing. And there's also some concern about what it will do to Adrian's Landing.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you that I don't think this thing is going to, Adrian's Landing is really going to work too well.
No, I don't think so either. And this thing, I mean, the success or failure of this thing is its ability to integrate with what's already there.
Mm-hmm. We want things to complement. I mean, we need new stores. We need new things. We need new life in that center. There's no question about it. It's a question of the scale, the density, and what it's going to do to the existing properties.
Yeah, and I mean, once again, usually with developers in a situation like this, because this is a really prime parcel. This is
an
incredible opportunity to develop something.
Absolutely.
My guess is that they're going to, you know, be willing to work with the community on all of this stuff. But
well, that's my hope. You know, yeah. I mean, we take people at their face value.
But one of the questions I guess I have is I don't even know whether West Hartford really has an overarching town plan of development. I mean, West Hartford is not going to stay a small town, even if it is a small town now, which I question.
Right.
But, you know, what's its model? I mean, my thought is it probably ought to develop kind of like maybe the way Northampton without quite so many lesbians. Not that there's anything wrong with lesbians. They're great. But I just don't think you're going to get that many in West Hartford. Well, I mean, this could kind of fit into something like that. This actually, if it's the right kind of thing, and the movie theaters sound great and everything. Anyway, we have to take a break. We may talk more about this. We may talk more about John Rowland when we get back.
When people ask me where I'm from, I can't resist showing them my fist, but not like that, like this. I stick out my thumb and show them my wrist. It's my handy little reference map for tourists. So it's thumbs up for Connecticut. And it thumbs out to see just where you are.
I think that Governor Rowland did actually show us one of his digits last night, but it may not have been his thumb. Well, this is Paul Tiger. Paul Tiger has been here talking a little bit about black and blue square, whatever it's called.
Bluebeard.
And
blue square.
Place person's landing is what I'm calling it. Landing. Someone makes me do otherwise. Now, there's some kind of meeting about all this tonight?
Yeah, yeah. This is what I really want to let people know. Tonight at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8:30 in the West Hartford Public Library on South Main Street in the Webster building, in the Webster room, excuse me, there's a meeting of concerned citizens. There's probably going to be... I can't say how many people are going to be there because I don't really know, but the capacity is only 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage people that have any interest in this project at all, want to learn about it, want to express their views. It's going to be very much an open forum, democracy in action. We invite you to be there. And if you plan on coming, make sure you get there early because we only have room for 100 people.
Bring a snack.
spring snack.
Yeah. Very quickly here.
You know, they had a poll today that talked about whether you bought it or not, and I don't think it worked for a lot of people because it didn't seem genuine because they've never seen it before.
Yeah.
You know, at least I've never seen it in the years that he's been a governor.
I mean, that is the problem, is that when you know, I was saying to you that he has, you know, usually in the debates and stuff like that, he has a kind of ramrod posture,
right,
and he kind of nails the camera and kind of, right, as you say, looks very confident. And he was very saggy and droopy last night, but, I mean, it didn't seem like it flowed from anything that we'd ever seen before.
You know, I don't think it was an act. I think he was really shaken by it.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that he had to say in public last night are things that no politician ever want to admit, even in a confessional.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't slap his knee and have a big laugh anyway,
right,
when
right,
that was all over.
So I buy the fact that he was, you know, he looked depressed and hurt by it. But I don't think it was enough to convince anybody.
We could have coached him on how to look depressed. Anyway, we're going to take a little break here. Thanks very much to Paul. Your name is Pete Rose. You have suffered for years in my prison without bars. If you're John Rowland, that doesn't sound so bad, actually. It's time for Sport à Trois, the very French sports discussion segment. He may be saying, oh, really? They have those? It's time for Sport à Trois, the very French sports segment of Monsieur Ronald Dean, Jean-Louis Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Wouldn't it be something? No. Excuse me. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
It would have been easier for me to say.
Yeah.
It would have been good, too, actually.
Yeah. This is just Asbury the Necco wafer, so he won't be with
no,
us.
No, it's not. No, actually, I was just going to say, if in fact down the road, say something, Roland got convicted or something,
yeah,
and they sent his butt to Wallen's Ridge.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because there's not enough room.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're supposed to talk about sports here. I'm going to take my pants off at some time during this segment.
No, I don't.
I am. I really
need that.
Well,
because I'm not going to. Here's the reason I'm going to take my pants off today during this segment. It's because I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, so.
Otherwise, I would have taken my pants off tomorrow.
Why, is there some special significance
you
doing it on Friday?
You fool, you had to ask.
Well, no, because
don't you just buy right into it?
Because we're going into the weekend, and there's a major, major playoff game involving my favorite football team. So, here.
Oh, here we go. Oh, God.
I'll show you my underpants.
What's new with you, Bruce?
Oh, my God.
Packer,
oh,
green, and gold.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's very nice.
Look at this. Huh? Huh?
Fortunately, they're boxers.
Unfortunately, it was brief.
He does have the Packer colors on. How about that?
Got a cheesehead down there, too.
Right. Yeah. Only when I'm up on stage. Yeah. I'll like stuff a cheese. Doing my Spinal Tap thing.
Oh, my.
Sorry, that was just too good.
These are actually boxer briefs. They're not boxers.
They're what?
Boxer briefs. Boxer
yeah.
briefs have changed.
Well, they're boxer briefs.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
combination. They're
right.
hybrid. I wear hybrid underwear.
Which leads to another whole subject
yeah.
we
yeah.
better avoid. By the way, Pete Rose is blaming anybody on staff who's more of a forgiving nature than me. You know, where I say, you know, somebody. Oh,
sorry,
yeah,
that's your public persona. Is you know,
it's not true at
that's
all.
That's not the Arnold Dean
You've
we know.
You've been talking
please,
to hell
believe
me,
but we write our behind the scenes book about the real Arnold Dean.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this
everybody's got a story.
Yeah. All this kind of angelic Danny Thomas stuff and everything. That's going right out the window because we know the real person.
Forget that whole subject that I was going to bring up.
Okay. Well, yeah. Let's hear about. Go ahead. Let's hear about.
No,
forgiving
I
no,
have
go
a
go
forgiving
ahead.
Nature, but I would not in any way be able to forgive him after lying to us for 14
yeah.
years, when all the evidence was there.
Right? Does he not have? Does he not have stuff that he brings up all the time?
Yeah.
Things that he's mad about, like from 27 years ago.
Watch this. You ready?
Go ahead.
Watch this.
The Whalers.
Watch this.
If I
watch.
You remember,
watch.
You remember
watch
when
him go.
You remember he came in one day, he was really mad, and he blamed us for the fact that the Patriots weren't coming? He actually blamed you and me, said
yeah,
it was our fault?
Right. While I was looking for victims that
yeah.
day, yeah. As it turns out, the Patriots not coming was not the worst thing that ever happened, but
no.
leaving, having the Whalers leave was
See?
A
yeah.
lot more important.
See? I know.
Absolutely.
Let me try one more. Ready? Peter Carmano.
That's the
only guest.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
In all these years of doing sports talk, 25 years or something, the only guest I've ever yelled at, Peter Carmano's.
Well, that's not counting producers and
television personnel. Off the air, some other people, you know, but not a guest. After I get a guest on the show, heck, if I had Pete Rose on the show, I would
be. Would you yell at him?
I would try not to yell at him. I don't think that I'd have to yell because I'm supported by so many facts. I wouldn't have to yell.
Sometimes even if you make a mean face, that's enough for me anyway. It brings me to my knees. Anyway, there's the guy.
I enjoy making people sweat. And
well, I'm just saying we know the real Arnold Bean.
Yeah, we do.
I have a forgiving nature.
If Dean, you know, I could see Dean actually throwing a rock through a Finman window. Couldn't you?
Well, yeah, if he felt he had been wronged in some way.
Right. We've been talking about Finman windows for years.
In all the years I've been doing radio, I don't know how many times people have actually taken their pants down. It's not the first time I've taken my pants off.
I know, it's not. As a matter of fact, most of the times that it's happened to me, it's been with you doing it.
it's a problem.
It's a frightening thing because you have no idea what's under there.
Right, it's a syndrome I have. But I wanted you to see my underwear.
Thank you.
Right.
Thanks for sharing that.
We should look to John or Mary.
John.
All right. Hi, John. John from Southwick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine.
My pants are not down.
Yeah, that's your
Thanks
story.
Thanks for sharing that.
I was going to call and talk about Roland, but I got this picture in my mind of Pete Rose strangling a kitten, and I'm trying to get rid of that picture. I agree with you, Colin. I think Roland should step down, but you seem to be enjoying this just a little bit too much.
Of course we're enjoying it.
It's going to be a tough time for him, his family, and I think he should step down, but I don't know. I just think you're getting too much, having too much fun here with it.
Well, we're only human. look, it's a serious time, and yesterday actually we did a much more serious show than we've done today, and these are serious problems. I know that Governor Rowland's speech last night was meant to make us feel a tremendous amount of pain for him and his family, and I don't care about that, quite frankly. I mean, he had plenty of chances to avoid that or avoid it for his family. I mean, if he had not run last time, he knew what was going on. He could have not run. And in fact, I mean, it was kind of a weird decision to seek a third term anyway.
Well, not only that, you didn't hear all of these apologies and all of this stuff till he got caught.
No, and in fact, even when he did get caught, there was just nothing but indignation initially. Indignant denials, and how could anybody say that about him, and it's clearly untrue. Maybe I should feel bad, and if I were a better person, a more evolved bodhisattva, I would feel really bad for him. But I really don't. I do understand that this is a serious situation, though, and for the state of Connecticut, it's a serious time. And any time you're looking impeachment in the face, it's not a big joke or anything like that. But I'm a sick person. What do you want? I mean, I have what's
pretty much true.
Yeah.
526. Here is
major psychological deficits I'm dealing with.
Here's Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
What?
Hey, listen.
What?
Fellas.
What?
I want to tell you that you're very deceitful.
What?
What? And you're not on at all.
What?
You people are having a great time over there joking about what you've done.
What?
Ruining people's careers.
What?
And you have not got yourselves on the air.
What?
Now, come clean, will you please?
What?
Put me on.
You're on the air.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I've been listening to WTIC, and you haven't said one word.
About what?
There's been everything else on but you.
What?
You and your little conversation with Art Donald Dean.
What?
Oh, yeah. You were so filthy the way you were talking.
What?
Have we gone over the edge here today or what?
No, you are.
What are you talking about?
You're very deceitful.
What are you talking about? We're not deceitful. What are you talking about?
What?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Dumbbells.
Dumbbells?
That's not nice. Mary, what's gotten into you?
You had a man out of West Hartford who was very intelligent.
Yes.
And did you let him be on the air?
He was on the air for half an hour.
Well, I'm wondering if you ever heard him, because I didn't hear him on the air. I happened to call him, and I heard you, and I heard the whole conversation.
What do you mean you didn't hear him on the air?
He was on the air.
Where else would you have heard him?
We're not on the
air. In the parking lot?
What do you mean we're not on the air?
Of course we're on the air.
Because you have everything else on. I've listened to it.
This is like a Pirandello play or something.
No, I didn't hear
the
one. Nuts.
Are you telling me that we're not on the air right now?
Listen, you're taping, but there's a delay to broadcast, apparently.
No, there's not.
So you always put people on that you want to be on.
Oh.
I know you are. because I've been listening. Well,
did we take too many of the little purple pills today?
I think I took too many.
I want to tell you something. Listen to Coast to Coast and listen to find out about what's going on with the mad cow disease.
All right, what's
That's
going
what
on?
I called about.
I think we know what's going on with the mad cow disease.
Oh, no, you don't.
All right.
No, you do not.
I think somebody had too many hamburgers this weekend.
Oh, no, you don't, and you're eating hamburgers that's been...
I think somebody ate too many cow spines.
And also another thing.
Do we have to go? Are we? Are we
yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh,
right,
I think we
right.
probably get an extra
and
minute for that.
Yale, right? What a joke. What a joke.
What's a joke?
You never graduated from Yale. I know you did.
No.
And
well,
did,
no, I, no, I didn't. I graduated from a place very much like Yale. I graduated
I
from a place that rhymes with Yale.
You're a disgrace.
What?
That's all you are. Huh? And what you've done to Roland, I think you
Just a minute. Wait a minute. What we've done to Roland?
Deceitful people.
Yeah, what did we do to Roland?
What did we do to Roland?
If you read the Bible, you'd read, "He who cast the first stone without sin."
No, it's
actually... Did you ever hear that one?
Actually, that's not how it goes. It goes, that he who is without sin cast the first
stone. Run now, Colin, run. And I've never read your book. Somebody gave it to me. I wouldn't read it. Okay?
Oh, man, there go those sales.
There's your
you
good
know,
thought.
All right. See ya.
Oh, boy.
Have a
did
lovely
somebody
night.
Ever get up on the wrong
we're
side
not
of
on the
bed
air.
This morning?
If you got any pills, man,
you mean, wait a
minute.
I did all this work and we're not on the air?
What?
I suffered through
what
the last
happened
tour.
There?
If she's right about that, boy, I'm going to go down and yell at Suzanne.
I'd like to announce that we're not really here.
You know, I just complained to management because they have promised me, Suzanne McDonald, Steve Salhaney, Janine Lee have all said that the show is going on the air. And now we find out it's not. It's not on the air.
This is practice.
It's all this one big existential joke on us.
Yeah.
I'm so hacked.
Okay, here's Tom in South Windsor. Hi, Tom.
Yes, how you doing? I was wondering why we're not on the air.
Well, I don't know. We just...
We are as upset about this as anybody else.
Yeah.
And I just want to apologize to everybody who's ever called this show or listened to it. I didn't realize it wasn't on the air. And I am steamed.
I think you're trying the old Roland trick.
What's the old Roland trick?
Well, you're saying things that aren't true.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right.
You know, you're on the air, you're not on the air.
Yeah. Well, it's similar to last night when he was speaking. He said, I have wrestled with John Roland, the governor, and I have wrestled with John Roland, the person. And I find myself saying, well, who are you then? So, if you're not either one of those people, who are you?
I think he wrestled with Patty.
Yeah. He was not on the air when he said that, however. So,
so that doesn't count.
Thank God we're not on the
Thanks,
air.
Thanks, Tom.
As I look back on what we've done here the last 6 or 7 years, thank God we weren't on the air when it was happening.
I know.
Because it would have been significantly embarrassing to have done this as a broadcast.
Right.
All right, let's take a few more calls
All
here.
Right.
Mr. Delaney says, don't talk to them for very long, however.
Hey.
Move on to the next one. Whatever.
Herb in Simsbury. Hello, Herb.
Hi, you guys. I just want to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is right. I can't understand how somebody can look the other way when this kind of stuff is going on. I get very upset when I see that seemingly there's so many people that are accepting of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe. And of course, that call that you got a couple of minutes ago—we're
not on the air, Herb.
That kind of put me off the wall.
Well, that summed up the metaphysical absurdity that we find ourselves in right now. But anyway, you know what? You know what I would say to you, in almost a serious note. Now is not the time to get upset, because in fact, you know, I mean, the towers of Mordor are falling. I mean, it's just a matter of time. So, I mean, the time to get upset was like 2 or 3 years ago when we would bring this stuff up and people would just. We were voices crying in the wilderness. Nobody believed it. Nobody wanted to hear it.
But, Colin, I think that we need the opponent to Roland has got to be somebody like the Secretary of State or the Attorney General. I don't know what it's going to take to make them run, but...
Well, I think, well, first of all, Susan Bicewicz, what it would take to make her run? Well, let's see. saying hello? I don't know. It would have to be something really persuasive like that. No, she's going to run. And, you know, they're not going to run against Roland anyway. I mean, he's not going to run again. I mean, that's the one thing
right,
we'd be lucky
well,
to...
Right,
well, I mean, you should never say never. I understand that.
We have to get somebody of that ilk. I know you like the other guy, but... I disagree with
well,
you.
Well, no, I think most of us understand that we're entering a new era in Connecticut Democratic politics, and you know, If Blumenthal wants to run, it's his. Nobody is going to contest that, or maybe nobody will contest it. And otherwise, there are some other really great candidates out there. And
you don't think the Secretary of State is a great candidate?
I do. I do. We've been the early adopter of Bicewicz. I mean, nobody has given more Bicewicz more rhythm than we have. I think she's great. I really like her a lot. And you know, I mean,
yes, you know, the
goofy husband of hers, I think there'd be a little magic happening between us, if you want to know the truth. But
people think this is
great.
A conspiracy against, they think it's, they want, the next thing will be Rel out for her snowmobile and then Sullivan in.
Well, no, there's nothing like that. I mean, the real question that everybody has, first of all, I don't think it's axiomatic that Jody Rell wants to run for governor. I mean, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I don't know the answer to that. And if she doesn't, then Anaskovich or somebody like that will probably run. I think actually Anaskovich is not a person that I would want to have running. If I were the Republicans, having been through what they've been through, and then knowing that his wife got this sweetheart, you know, job and stuff, I think he would be the wrong candidate. But there are other people who might run. Maybe Rob Simmons will run someday. Who knows, you know? He'd be a formidable candidate for that.
All right, here's Joe in Southington. Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
In all seriousness, I like to fish up a phantom, and I'm scared to, like, I might pull a pike out with cement on its fin.
That was in all seriousness that you said that?
Oh, yeah.
It was the man-eating pike.
Yeah.
You got to watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, walleye pikers, you know, they can be dangerous.
Yeah. Apparently when Governor Rowland fishes, like, the Tommaso scuba divers go down there and knock the fish unconscious, put him on the hook, you know, and he just reels them in. You know.
Oh, yeah, just a little TNT off the side of the boat.
All right, yeah. Thanks for your call.
Doesn't he have a couple of boats up there?
Well, that's, you know, he's got, well, that got complicated, too. It really is, you know, just John's wide world of wheels and propellers up there, as far as I can tell. There's the cars and boats and planes and, you know, I mean, it's hard to follow it all. But his father had one boat, and then he got rid of that boat, and he got another boat, and there's a Mustang, and maybe it may be amphibious, too. I'm not sure. And, you know. He's like James Bond, you know. He's got all these, like, special... I think Q and M gave him these things. Who knows?
The result of my own doing. I humbly ask to redeem myself in your eyes. There's some good to come from all of this. Will I be a better person? I believe the answer is yes. My mistakes were my own. I wrestled with John Rowland, the governor, but I've also wrestled with John Rowland, the person, and I offer my sincerest apology to the people of Connecticut. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night.
I'm going to miss him. Darn it. I'm just getting attached to him now. I mean, he's made me want to puke for the last 12 years, but...
All right.
Suddenly.
Mike in Columbia. Mike.
How are you guys?
Great.
Colin and Bruce, you guys are the best on the radio. I start listening to you guys early in the morning, all the way through, so I'm driving home here tonight. And I got to tell you.
Actually, our morning show is one of the best ones we do right now. That one's on the air, unlike this one.
Wait a minute. I'm getting to that. He's got to go, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And then I want you guys got to call in to Jim show in the morning. You have to. You got to bite that button. He's lost it today.
Oh, but what did Buddy do today?
Oh, what hasn't he done today? I had to turn him off. He ought to take whatever that woman that called in is taking. Calm him down. Do something. I'll tell you, he's nuts. I don't know what the meaning of far left and far right is, but this morning he is so far out of it, so he's nuts.
Well, we love Buddy. We have a lot of there's a lot of love around this radio station.
Well,
really loud or something? Or am I imagining?
What?
Oh. Okay, there we go. It's like it's kind of unusually
loud.
Well,
we're playing it extra loud so it gets on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That way it doesn't get on the air. Well, listen, there's a lot of love around this radio station. We love Buddy. We love Roy and Debbie. We love everybody. So,
I'll tell you, Colin, you've got to get on his show and challenge him. Because, Colin, you've got the wit of I don't know who or what. But I'll tell you,
I'm
you
a
guys
dumbbell.
Do a great job.
All right. Thanks for calling. I'm a complete moron.
Dumbbell.
But no, Buddy is mad as a hatter. He is just absolutely barking lunatic. But we love him, all right? We just want to give him a big hug.
Here's a Bill in Weathersfield. Bill.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi, Bill.
How are you? First off, I had something else to talk about, but real quick, if that guy in Columbia thinks that Colin has all that wit,
yeah,
and that's why he lives in Columbia.
Yeah.
Columbia's a
nice place.
I'm a supporter.
Yeah.
And I personally believe that, A, he's never been indicted.
Yeah, you're right.
He might be unethical.
Right.
And the greatest thing that's happened to the state of Connecticut in the past 4 years is in jail. And Joe Ganim, because Bridgeport would still be the armpit of Connecticut. And I think people are just portraying this to be... The only thing good about Roland is he's got a job with Tommaso when he gets out of office.
Yeah.
But he has not been indicted yet.
Right.
And, well, you know, it might be unethical, it might be wrong, but there isn't a politician that hasn't done this.
So, Bill, you just go right on supporting him, okay?
I'm sorry?
But you go right on supporting him. I think that's good. I think it's admirable. You just keep supporting him. I think it's a good thing.
All right.
I'm proud of you, Bill.
I'm
proud of you that you're stick-to-itive. In the face of turpitude, face of lying, reptilian, snake-like, despicable behavior of the most deplorable sort, have stuck with your guy, Bill. I think that's great. I love that.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I've got a pretty good idea why the Patriots never made it to Hartford.
Why was that?
Well, I'll tell you.
Tell me.
They didn't make it to Hartford because Mr. Rowland wanted $350 million state contract.
Yeah.
And
I don't think that's why. We have we're under instruction to make the calls really fast.
Quick.
Do we have 30 seconds left? Or do we have a minute and a half? Minute and a half. All right. Let's take one more call. Should we take Tom?
Tom?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Be nice.
I'm going to be nice. Listen, I got a question. How come Patty wasn't there behind him this time with...
That would have been a nice touch.
One of her little speeches.
I think Patty got sat down this time. All right? I don't think any more poems.
That would have been a nice touch, though. He gives a big apology. She goes out at the end. Wham!
Yeah, and then he's behind her going, yeah, you give it to him, honey.
Yeah, no, I think, clearly one of the things that they sort of... I mean, the thing is, I feel bad for Patty because, you know, everybody else who knew about that, particularly her goofball husband, you know, he's a politician. He should have known that poem was a bad thing to do, and he could have stopped it.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has wound up being hung out to dry as some kind of Lady Macbeth, or she's like Ken Lay's wife or something like that. And, you know, I mean, he could have said that was a dumb idea. I mean, he's supposed to know that thing, that kind of thing.
So, all right, quickly, Mike in a car. Mike.
Hi, Mike. You're on the air, Mike.
Yes.
Very quickly, Mike. What is it?
Faster, harder. We're not on the air here much, but we are now.
Yeah.
Hello?
What do you want to say?
Colin, yeah. I can barely hear you guys. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But I'd just like to make a comment about you're wrestling with why the Democratic leadership isn't stepping up and jumping up and down and trying to get Governor Rowland out.
We got. Unfortunately, we're out of time. You took too long. I'm sorry. We got to do traffic. Bye.